Hey strangers, don't skip this. Today we're doing something a little different. I am happy to share with you an interview I did with Michelle Brock. Michelle is a past life regression coach and author with nearly 2 decades of experience helping people discover and unlock past life memories to help heal them in this life. I asked her all about her beliefs and practices and shared a little about my own. I hope you enjoy and make sure to stick around to the end for a special offer. Michelle Brock is a past life. I don't know what to call you.
I'm not a therapist, but my approach is through coaching. So I'm a spiritual life coach and a past life regressionist.
Awesome. And a writer. Your book, Who Do You Think You Are? An Interactive Journey Through Your Past Lives and Into Your Best Future. You kindly sent me a copy and I really love it. It's got activities and thought-provoking questions and journal prompts to sort of help you kind of get through your own thought process on these things for the sake of, I don't know, everybody knowing. Like, I came into doing Strange and Unexplained 4 years ago, very skeptical of everything, you know, anything spooky, paranormal, not quantifiable, I guess. And my mind has been changed about a lot of things in these 4 years. You and I met virtually about 4 years ago when we did a past life regression session. At the time, I felt like, oh, I don't think I actually had a regression during the session. I feel like I'm resistant to hypnosis. But over the past 4 years, learning about more things and being open to more ideas, I am much more open to the idea of past lives. And I think there are so many things about our experience in this world that are seemingly inexplicable. And who are we to say what is and isn't? So I wanted to have you on to talk about who you are, how you got to your beliefs, and how you move through the world within your belief system.
Yeah, thank you so much for that and for inviting me to talk about my work and my passion. I got into this work pretty organically through my own direct experience. You know, it's kind of a long story, but I ended up having a past life experience. It happened to be at a retreat, at a workshop, and I was on stage in front of a few hundred people at the time. And it was like one of those, if anybody wants to volunteer, we can only take one, you know, and I just knew that it was going to be me. And I knew that I was supposed to do this. And in front of all these people, I had this experience that absolutely changed not just the way that I looked at everything, it changed my entire perception of the world and life and meaning, and also my concept of self, right? Like who I thought I was. I thought I was like a blonde American cisgender female. And I discovered through having a past life experience as another gender, I looked different, right? I had a different hair color, skin color, eye color. So it took a sledgehammer, I think, to the mirror of my own identity, who I thought I was, which is why I called my book, Who Do You Think You Are? But that experience set me on this journey to really understand how it works, what reincarnation is all about. Are they actual memories or are they figments of our imagination, right? Is it a psychic experience? You know, and how common are psychic experiences? And over the years, I've been doing this work now almost 20 years. I've become a little bit of like a spiritual anthropologist in a way, in that the things that are spiritual experiences that are universal as humans that transcend religion and culture and belief are the things that interest me the most. And so, you know, after I had that experience myself, I learned from the same teacher that I had that experience with. His name is Dr. Brian Weiss. He wrote a book called Many Lives, Many Masters and several other fantastic books over the years. But after I learned how to do this, I feel like I get a chance to pay that experience forward every day with my clients and that I can show them this realm of existence that exists inside of you. It's your own memories, right? In your unconscious mind. And it's a lot different than going to a psychic or an astrologer and getting someone who tells you who you were in a past life. This is actually your own direct experience. And what you do with it after that is completely up to you.
That's so interesting. And I know that, like you said, there are so many cultures, so many religions where this intersects, where people believe in this kind of experience. And I also believe that things that transcend generations, and I mean, that's sort of why I'm more open to astrology these days, is because I'm like, it is so ancient.
Mm-hmm.
It is so ancient.
Yeah.
And lasting and cross-generational, that at some point you have to be like, look.
Yeah. Reincarnation is actually one of the most ancient beliefs mm-hmm. out there, spiritual beliefs. And it actually can be tracked to every single continent. Indigenous people actually believed in cycles of life, death, and rebirth. And we know this through burial practices, through art, through cave paintings, right? And in my opinion, the reason that was such a prominent belief system was that ancient people lived in a way that was more connected to nature than we do now. And you see these cycles of life, death, and rebirth constantly sure. turning around us, right? So they understood themselves to be part of nature. Mm-hmm. And thereby those cycles would, you know, repeat in themselves as well. So to me, belief in reincarnation is kind of a throwback, right? It's making a comeback. And astrology is very similar. It's the study of cycles, right?
Yeah.
That everything comes around, turns around. Everything is cyclical. Time is not actually linear. Doesn't move in a straight line. It moves in a circle, in a wheel. So I think that there's a lot of intersectionality between astrology and past life work, looking at patterns over many lifetimes, things that we struggle with and gifts and tendencies that we have. But yeah, it's as ancient as time itself, and which is fascinating.
I'm so glad you brought up time, because that was one of my questions. I was going to ask you if you believe that time is linear. I knew the answer was probably no. If time is a circle, or if it's a Jeremy Baramy, you've watched The Good Place, right?
Yes.
Oh, I love that show. Are there future lives that we experience as past lives?
It's a fantastic question. And my genuine answer is, I don't know. But I do have clients who experience past lives or lifetimes that exist outside of time, or a possible future, potential future,
uh-huh.
other lives, other realms, other places other than planet Earth too.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the most common experience that my clients have. Most people remember past lives that seem to be in the past, at least the way that we perceive it, right? Like the, mm-hmm. the 1700s right. were 300 years ago, and as a human on planet Earth. But I think that there's a lot that we don't understand. I don't know what the percentage of our brains that we use is. It's something like 8 or 10 or something like that, you know, and I think that there's a big mystery to how the universe really does work. But I know that the way that we perceive things as human beings are that time moves linearly, like an arrow. One of my Native American teachers talked about the fact that time moves like a wheel. And mm-hmm. so that the past, present, and future are all happening concurrently.
Mm-hmm.
So when you can change the past, meaning that you can go back and heal something that happened in the past, that you can actually change the future. And mm-hmm. so that's a very kind of shamanic concept, but I think it's very similar to what I feel like I'm doing with my clients, where we're traveling back to a time that existed in the past that is still living within them and active mm-hmm. today. Your past mm-hmm. lives are not in the past. They show up in the present in all kinds of ways. And I talk about this a lot in my book, right? Your biases, your tendencies, your fears, all of that. And so once we heal that, then the future is totally, completely new. And so that maybe time exists in layers like that, right? That they're constantly being laid upon each other and informing each other in a certain way.
Wow. I love that. It really does make my brain turn inside out.
I love that.
Let's go ahead and just lay out the basic concepts of past lives before we move into other stuff. So the way we think of it, and I don't know if this is accurate or whatever, but the idea is that we've all lived many other lives. Maybe I was Attila the Hun at some point, or I don't know, a sheep herder in Nepal. So yeah, just talk about what exactly it is, like the basics of it.
Okay. I love both of those concepts for you, by the way. Let's not skip over this and take this for granted. We are talking about a concept called reincarnation, which is the belief that after death, that you're reborn into a new body, a new form, but that there is a part of your consciousness that survives death and moves on into a new lifetime. You can call it whatever you want. Some people call it soul, spirit, higher self, inner self, true essence. I don't care what you call it. That consciousness part of you is eternal and survives death and experiences life over many, many, many lifetimes. And what I've come to understand in the now many years that I've been working with individuals, guiding them through this experience of seeing firsthand that I'm in a different body, right? I lived in a different time period, in a different place, and I thought differently and I had different belief systems. We reincarnate in order to evolve and grow, you know, similar to my nature analogy, right? That we're constantly evolving, changing, trying to be better. And I use better with air quotes, better meaning like more loving, more compassionate, more connected to ourselves and to others, right? So that's the concept that we're talking about. And the idea is that we carry within that consciousness that survives death, that exists in our unconscious, and that we can experience our unconscious in many, many different ways through dreams, through meditation. Some people spontaneously feel like, I feel like I've been here before, or a deja vu sensation. So what people are doing when they're working with me is they're tapping into that unconscious, looking for specific information, which are these stories that we carry with us from our previous incarnations here on planet Earth as humans.
This is going to probably sound like a silly question, especially because we don't really believe that time is linear. But was there ever a beginning point? Was there ever a point where there wasn't a past?
I don't believe so. I don't believe there's a beginning, and I don't believe there's an end. Which sounds crazy, right? Like, yeah. At what point is the circle formed? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people talk about this. There are certain religious traditions that talk about liberation from being reincarnated, or I get to stop coming back to planet Earth. And I don't believe that's true. Mm-hmm. I think that there's always more to know. You're never done, right?
I was going to ask about that because is it like the Buddhist tradition that like eventually you've learned what you need to learn and you
reach nirvana? I think they call it samsara, mm-hmm. which means liberation. The idea that home is on the other side, right? In this mm-hmm. spiritual realm, and that to be human implies suffering, right? Which we all experience suffering in some way, even if we have the most charmed of lives, right?
Yeah.
I think that what that is probably referring to is that maybe there are other planets, realms, dimensions to reincarnate in, and that Earth seems to be kind of its own specific school. Mm. And that maybe you can graduate.
The school of hard knocks.
The school of hard knocks, especially in 2024. You know what I mean? We're all just trying to figure it out and try to figure out how to survive this push and pull and this forced evolution. You know, a lot of us go kicking and screaming into this evolution. And I think that's why there's a lot of jokes about like, oh, I'm done with this life. I'm not coming back in the next life, because it is hard.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to be liberated. I feel like I've done it. Thank you. I remember growing up, the idea was like the sort of very westernized, boiled down idea of what Buddhism was or reincarnation was like, if you step on a bug, you're going to come back as a bug in the next life. And I remember thinking like, what would be so bad? I would not mind being a bug.
And actually, there's a belief that if you step on that bug was your mother in a past life. Too. There's also that, right? Like learning to really understand that all life is precious and all humanity, and that we're inherently equal too, right? Yeah, there's a lot of stuff about that in my book about, you know, if everyone everywhere understood how reincarnation worked, that our differences are only perceived. Mm. Our souls are all inherently equal and the same. We're just having different experiences, different expressions of humanity in order to kind of learn that truth. And I think that that's what's kind of happening today, is that we're kind of being forced in a way to look at those truths and look at the shadow side of the way that we deny our own humanity. But yeah, I think that there are other places to graduate to. Like if you are done with this Earth school, congratulations. But I think that there are other places to be born, because I just don't believe that there's a beginning and I don't believe there's an end. There's always more that we can know, do, and learn how to be better.
Yeah, the way that I like to see it sometimes when I'm having trouble feeling compassion for another human being, I think of them as a baby being held in someone's arms, their essence, their purest self before anything got, you know, I suppose in the idea of reincarnation, there's plenty of stuff already imprinted in there, but like the traumas of this particular life have not yet hopefully started.
Yeah, that's beautiful that it's this new innocent life filled with an infinite amount of potential, right? Mm-hmm. Like what we choose to do with our life is completely up to us. We have free will. I believe there is a higher power or a purpose. I'm not necessarily religious anymore. Mm-hmm. I actually never was. I grew up religious, but you know, I do believe that there is an order and design to the universe that's larger than us, mm-hmm. but we have free will, right? Like, so that's really beautiful that you can kind of see someone as their purest potential and essence in this lifetime, even though we all know that we come in with all of our past life stuff. It's like a sunrise moment, right? It's a new day. And what you do with that day is completely up to you.
Yeah, I love that. Is there a period of time in between incarnations? Because one concept I have of what happens when we die is like we sort of join this like amorphous collective consciousness where there is no evil or good or right or wrong. One example I always use is that like even Hitler is there. Everything just is at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And also I hope to goodness that it's pulsing with love. And so that even somebody like Hitler gets to this space and instantly understands that it was all for nothing and the pain that they inflicted, but that it's okay because right here in this moment is just right here in this moment. I don't know if that makes any sense.
It completely does. And that's a really beautiful way to look at it. And I'm going to break this down one at a time. But is there a period between lives? Yes. It varies for people. Sometimes people have a really difficult lifetime and they need more rest. They need to recharge and make the plan for the next incarnation. Yes, I do believe it is a self-guided process.
Wow. Interesting.
We choose our lifetimes. We choose our parents. We choose the circumstances of our birth, different people that we're going to cross paths with. People talk about these soulmate fated encounters. A lot of those were, you know, predetermined. Again, we still have free will, right? Once you cross paths with someone, then the choice is up to you. So there is kind of that recharging, that beautiful, like, right, we're home in spirit form. Uh-huh. And there's no boundary between us and consciousness and all there is and all of that, right? Sometimes people do reincarnate pretty quickly. Those are often people that have experienced either some sudden tragic accident and they feel like there was work left to be done, or death by suicide and there's regret about that. Sometimes they'll jump back into a body pretty quickly to kind of be like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. I had more I needed to do.
Interesting.
You know, as far as figures in history that were, let's call them shadow figures, right? Mm-hmm. Like Hitler, mm-hmm. they serve a purpose as well. Mm-hmm. As difficult as that is to kind of think about good and evil and dark and light, right? We have this polarity in mm-hmm. the universe, and the light wouldn't exist without the dark. So do I believe that Hitler is currently on the other side? I do not. I actually have some theories about different people in politics and figures today that are repeating certain eras of history. And no, I do not believe that Trump is Hitler.
What you mean to say is you don't believe that Hitler's reincarnated soul is within the body of Trump.
No, but I do believe that it's possible that Trump could be another fascist dictator from that time period. Right.
So does that mean that that person didn't learn their lesson?
Well, either that they didn't learn their lesson or that they on a higher level that we can't understand, they decided to be that shadow figure in order to push us, right? I always tell this to people in my coaching practice, that person that broke your heart and brought you to your knees is often your greatest teacher, right?
Yeah.
And that is a really hard perspective to get to when you're kind of in the suffering and in the body and you're angry about the injustices and all of the darkness that we can experience in the form of humans and the things that we can do to each other and atrocities and certain figures that seem to be ones that cause a lot of suffering, either because they're in power and disrupt and change the world. They put us on a different course pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. So again, it's kind of hard to see that bigger picture kind of when we're in it. But yeah, I don't believe that Trump is Hitler. I have my theories. And again, that's just me as an intuitive. I think that if somebody were possibly to be reincarnated as Hitler, it'd probably be more like Vladimir Putin, someone like that. Trump reminds me more of Mussolini. But again, if those particular souls are reincarnated in those bodies, it's to repeat these cycles in history, to force us to look at things in a different way, to make different choices. And that's what I want people to focus on rather than like who was who in a past life, right? I do occasionally, when I'm working with people, find people who were notable figures in history in a past life. And it's often not who you would think, right? Mm-hmm. I worked with somebody once who was this really famous Roman emperor in a past life, and it's totally not who you would think it would be. You would think it would be this like hyper masculine master of industry kind of person, and it totally was not. And, you know, I can't say anything more than that because of confidentiality, but there doesn't seem to be any kind of rhyme or reason to notoriety in a past life. Like if you were always famous, are you always famous in a past life?
Right.
But that there seems to be these individual arcs with like what we're learning, what we're trying to overcome, the roles that we play for other people. So for example, if Hitler is reincarnated as Putin, he's doing his thing again.
Like the period in between Mussolini and Putin, when the soul was home and like mapping out the plan for the next one. Do you think the idea is sort of like this time, hopefully they'll see the mistake before they make it kind of thing?
I've noticed that people tend to kind of reincarnate in like what seems like clusters. Like you'll have four past lives in a row that will all have certain things in common.
Mm-hmm.
Like say, for example, wealth or reach or power versus poverty, or that you'll have certain abuse in your childhood that will repeat over and over and over. And it's in order to learn how to approach lessons from different angles. We're beings who learn by doing. So this is why it's possible to have compassion for someone like Hitler. Like if you know his story, it's a sad story. He made his choices and he went down that shadow path and ended up decimating, not just killing millions of people, but decimating millions and millions of lives. If you think about all of the soldiers who fought in World War II, who had PTSD and the generational trauma that comes after that, right? The ripple effects are enormous, but yet it forced us into a new era. It forced us into a new way of being and seeing. And I think that history repeats in cycles. So what's happening now with all of these fascist ideas being thrown around, we're back there again. Yeah. Okay, what are we going to do? Have we changed? Have we grown? Do we have access to more information? Are we going to continue to keep making the same choices over and over and over again? And that's, I think, what the idea of samsara and being liberated means. It's like, oh, that lesson is not supposed to go that way, right? We're supposed to do different and be different and be better. And unfortunately, because we're dealing with this, not just individually, but also collectively, progress is slow. And I believe that any progress that we can make collectively or change that we can make as a society, as a country globally, has to start with a change that begins with an individual. And I think that that's one of the most powerful things I can offer people by doing past life work, is that you can have a glimpse into this bigger picture, like opening the curtains on a window and kind of see, wow, it's not just this one life. Mm-hmm. And here's all the ways I've been stuck before. And here's all the mistakes I made before. Mm-hmm. Looking back at yourself like, oh, well, I was in kindergarten in the 1400s when I participated in witch trials, you know, whatever, right? Wow. And today I'm so much more accepting of people who don't believe like me. So you can actually track your own individual progress, but you can also see from the perspective of history made personal. We study history in order to understand what doesn't work, what we need to know about the future we want to create. I'm offering people a glimpse into your own personal history, your soul's history, and seeing how you individually have been a participant in this larger kind of collective evolution that we've been in process of for maybe millions of years.
It's fascinating. And I also want to say for some of my listeners, I mean, I can already hear the pushback. I think it could be easy to hear from what you're saying, like, oh, we should be thankful to our abusers because they teach us lessons. And I don't think that's not what you're saying.
That's not what I'm saying. And you're right. It's important to not be flippant when it comes to people's struggles and suffering. Mm-hmm. And I actually have several chapters in my book about just this, like somebody who's going through this enormous life challenge, you're like, this is for your greater good.
Right.
So always be compassionate. But again, when you do have that higher perspective, you can hold space for somebody who's going through something with tremendous compassion, but also with the knowledge that, you know, there is a bigger picture to kind of what is going on.
And I think it's important to remember too, that like having compassion for someone does not mean that they have carte blanche to be a monster. You know, I can have compassion for the fact that Trump's father didn't love him and was also a monster, and also not like him and know that he's making horrible choices.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think there are a lot of personality disorders or things that we're still learning a lot about mental health.
Yeah.
And I think that we're beginning to lose the stigma behind mental health. Thank goodness. What makes someone a psychopath is often unresolved things from their past, right? Mm-hmm. So when we can kind of look at different ways that brain chemistry mixes with trauma and all of that, like the more we understand, the more we're able to kind of have compassion from that higher perspective, but still not let it be okay that they're the behavior that they're doing, right? So knowledge is power.
It is interesting when you think about how they're learning, like with schizophrenia, that a lot of times it gets unlocked by a traumatic event.
That's right.
Meaning it was there. And it's kind of like, why? Why was it there? Was it just our brain developed abnormally? Did something carry through? I wonder, for somebody like Elon Musk, is there a possibility that he could come back as an absolute dirt poor peasant somewhere where there's no access to like resources as like a lesson to him? Or is that not how it works?
Absolutely. You know, and I don't have any reads on Elon Musk's past lives. I haven't really focused on him, but you know, we have to learn from all sides. So having an enormous amount of resources and wealth, and what you choose to do with it is probably a personal karma for him. Mm. Perhaps in a past life, he was, you know, dirt poor.
And so now he's hoarding his wealth out of
fear.
And
now he's hoarding it out of fear. We're having to learn to be rich and poor and every iteration in between and still have the same ethics and values and standards and be giving and loving and all of that. And there are other factors as well, too. Like, again, we talked about our generational trauma. Some of us were born to like really loving parents, and some of us didn't get that experience in this lifetime, right? In a past life, perhaps you had this like really loving family and it was like easy. And, you know, you chose to have a challenging lifetime. And this is what it means to have karma with someone, which is a word I think often gets thrown around like new age circles or like yoga class, like it's something karma. Karma actually means action. Mm. And to me, what I've learned from working with people for the now many years I have is that karma is actually more about balance. It's not about punishment, like, oh, you did something bad in a past life, therefore you're going to suffer in this life, right? Or like Elon Musk with his toxic behaviors, with his great wealth, will he be dirt poor in a next life, punished? It's more about learning to balance his wealth or learning to balance his relationship with power and wealth, right? Mm-hmm. Over many lifetimes. So it's not necessarily about being punished. It's just about learning and growth.
Interesting. And in the period, like in between, in a linear, putting it in a linear fashion, you say that like you sort of plan out what your life is going to be. Mm-hmm. Do you do that with a guide? I mean, I guess I also wonder why on earth would anybody choose to have abusive parents or be born into poverty or be born into addiction issues or be born in Gaza right now? Like, why would somebody choose that?
I do think that there is guidance involved with the process, but that we mostly guide each other. Mm-hmm. So for example, say somebody was a victim of a genocide in a past life, and the perpetrator on the other side comes to the victim is like, I am really sorry. I judged the situation incorrectly. Now that I'm on the other side, I can see that we're all love. I should not have done that to you. They might decide to trade And in the next life, be the victim and perpetrator on the other side in order to experience it directly. Mm-hmm. So it's about these individual kind of soul contracts we have with each other. Or if you were a spouse who was chronically unfaithful, you might decide to be that person's mother in the next life in mm-hmm. order to learn lessons about love and proximity, right? And maybe you'll be challenged to be more truthful or be more honest, which might be difficult for you. You might be a certain kind of mother if you were a cheating spouse in a past life. But the point is that you're learning, and we learn by doing. So we actually decide for ourselves, but with the input of each other, if that makes sense. Our heart goes out to people who are suffering. And yeah, you don't want to be like, well, you chose it. Sometimes it's the most evolved souls who actually choose the biggest challenges.
I mean, that makes sense.
They can handle it.
Those tests that kids are taking now where it's like, if you get something right, the next question is harder.
Exactly.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I was just talking about this with Kurt. We were talking about dreams. I have always had an extremely vivid dream life. Ever since I was very little, I've had very vivid dreams. I remember them very well. They are bizarre. They're very strange. Like I said to Kurt, I was like, most people dream like a bear is chasing me and then maybe I can fly. But my dreams are just, they're bonkers. And then we were talking about when you dream about, you make up a person, a full face and features of somebody you've never seen before. Or, and this one really blows my mind, when you dream about a full piece of music that doesn't exist in the world and it's gorgeous, I dream of like symphonies that don't exist. Wow. As far as I know.
Yeah.
And in the dream, I can say to myself, like, remember this. And then I never do.
Yeah.
I'm not a composer. And I know I'm not having any auditory stimulation during the dream. So where does that come from?
Yeah. Like, it's almost like it exists energetically. You're hearing it with your inner hearing, right? Like,
yeah.
Almost like a clairaudient experience. I think what you're talking about is super fascinating because you're talking about the unconscious mind, which is our inner self, our higher self, but that's also the part of us that reincarnates, right? Again, like your soul or your spirit. And so when we are able to tap into that, there's all this information there. Perhaps you were a composer in a past life. Perhaps you're channeling something, right? I think that most people who are creatives can actually relate to this, right? If you're doing like a painting and you're just like, oh, it felt like 20 minutes, but 2 hours went by.
Yeah.
And you look at that and you're like, damn, that's actually pretty good.
Right.
I think that a lot of people can kind of relate to being in that kind of state. It's almost like a hypnosis kind of state. And I think that when we dream, we're actually just going a few more rungs on the ladder down into our unconscious, which is why people have vivid dreams that happen later, prophetic dreams.
Yeah.
People have dreams about the past, like they've seen like, wait, I'm in a wagon and a buggy being pulled by a horse.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't seem to be, you know, the 21st century. That could possibly be a past life. So we actually move up and down those rungs of the ladder all the time. Some of us more than others.
It's something that you can also work on, right? You can train yourself.
Something you can learn how to do, right? So creative people, I think, are naturally more tapped into that depending on how your creative process works, right? If you're writing something and you just get lost in the writing, a lot of people experience this like in the shower, right? Great ideas happen in the shower. And it's because you just relax a little bit and you open up, you know, the imagination is the gateway to the unconscious mind. Like you, I've always been a really vivid dreamer. I've always been a daydreamer. I was that kid in school that would be like staring out the window and the teacher would have been calling my name 5 times. The whole class is laughing at me. And I was just like in this world that existed. So some of us come by that a little bit more naturally, maybe based on kind of personality. I think that all human beings are intuitive.
Yeah.
Some of us are kind of maybe born with a little bit more of it than others. The analogy I like to make is that it's a little bit more like athletic ability or musical talent. You can be born with it, but it doesn't change the fact that you still have to study it, practice it, hone a skill over time, you know, build muscles. So I've built up a lot of my intuitive muscles because I happen to be really interested in it. And I do this for a living.
Right.
And there's a whole lifestyle around being a professional intuitive. I always tell people, like, it's not magic. It's something that if you're really interested in, you can learn how to do. You can learn how to remember your past lives. And I think that's the biggest takeaway I wanted people to get from my book, is that it's a practice. And if you're interested and it's something you want to know, you can learn how to connect with your previous selves, your previous personas.
I love that. Going back to politics for a second, because it's all that's ever in my head.
This is the week.
Yeah, I think that the way we have designed our society and our culture, and especially now with the internet, to be constantly distracted, right? To be constantly working, to be constantly thinking, what am I going to make for dinner? To be constantly worried about bills, constantly worried about having to clean the house, just constant to-do list of your life.
Yeah.
I think is intentionally designed that way because the busier your brain is, the less time you have to get down to those lower rungs, at which you're more likely to look around and be like, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Something's not right. We often say, like, how come people aren't protesting more? And it's like, because they're trying to put food on the table.
That's right.
And so I think that it would behoove all of us to learn how to quiet our minds and slow down. And if you're not interested in politics, which God bless you, even for just your own life, you know, to sort of stop and be quiet for a little bit and reconnect with what is actually important.
Yeah.
I think especially for people online, they're constantly driven by the algorithm. Like, how can I get more views? How can I get more likes? How can I? And everything is this content? Is this content? Is this content? And it's maddening.
Yeah. I think that there is this kind of like toxic busyness culture that we actually have created in our society, and we value busyness. And this is different if you're in actual crisis and you are trying to put food on the table, which, you know, many people are. This is a different thing. Solitude is a luxury.
Oh, yeah.
Especially if you're a mom or a parent. But I watched this when I was raising my children, who are both adults now, but these parents who have their kids in like seven different classes after school and like they're championing that toxic busyness where I was just like, let my kids just like lay on the floor and stare at a sunbeam coming through the window.
You
know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with that. And we actually don't value that kind of daydreaming alone time.
Quietude.
And that quietude. And it is, it's because there's just so much noise and so much busyness. And I do think that part of what I'm offering people through this practice is a return to that. This is my alone time or my quiet time, or this is the place where I go to contemplate myself or my day. And so, you know, I think that even if you are in crisis, you can actually start, doesn't even have to be formal, like a 5 minute, I'm going to just be in the shower and just be.
I was going to say in the shower is a great opportunity.
Yeah. Or like, you know, if you have a chance to like go on a walk, or if you notice the sun is setting, take a moment, take a beat and just like watch it, or the sunrise, whichever it is. So I think that you're right. And I think that it numbs us from, you know, what's happening because we're constantly in this trauma response of like, we got to do this and do that and pay the bills and feed the cat and all of that. And so when our bodies are constantly being bombarded with that kind of trauma response, it's impacting the way that we age. It's impacting the way that we experience illness. So yeah, there is a little bit of a need for us to kind of just get off this hamster wheel already and return to some of the old ways, right? People who are really into astrology are like, ooh, I'm having a Saturn and moon day, so I need to just slow down. It's kind of like noticing that there are natural cycles to life and phases of life and moments in time that require readiness or busyness. That's why I do tend to create my life around astrological cycles. You know, it's like, oh, it's a new moon. It's a good time to do this and that. It's because it feels right in my body. It feels right with the way that my life flows.
And you have spent a lot of time cultivating your relationship with your body and your subconscious. You know, when your body is telling you to quiet down, I think a lot of us have lost touch with that because of how we're conditioned in this society. And again, and you touched on this, this is nobody's fault.
I want people to know too, it's not a luxury. It's a necessity.
Yeah. Yes. You know? Rest is a necessity. Quiet is a necessity.
Yeah.
And having just time with yourself is a necessity. I saw this video. This was a long time ago, of this person making pork dumplings completely from hand with this little girl who was watching and helping. It took a very long time. It took like basically all day because they were literally grinding the pork by hand, like with a stone mill. And it was so meditative. I was actually just saying this on Dear Daisy, this past one that I recorded, chop wood, carry water.
Carry water. Yeah.
You know, just one thing at a time. And washing dishes can be a meditative experience. You know, as a podcaster, I hate to say this, but like turn off the podcast.
Yes. It's interesting because when you do a lot of past life work, you actually can see yourself in different time periods when we didn't have technology.
Yeah.
Where there wasn't like radio to listen to at night with your family or, you know, and seeing the value of more simple ways of living.
Yeah.
That a lot of the lessons that people discover, and I am working on my second book right now, which is about life lessons people learn from, you know, dying in a past life, right? Mm-hmm. And kind of seeing what that life was all about that we can use in our modern world.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these lessons are slow down, love more.
Yeah.
You know, pay attention to your instincts, right? Yeah. All of those things. So, you know, doing past life work gives you a chance to kind of explore a more ancient version of yourself, but a more ancient kind of way of being and take that and use that in your life today.
Oh, I love that. Well, that feels like a good place. I mean, I could talk to you all day about this. It's so fascinating. And I love this book and I love going through it. I love doing the exercises and the dream work and it's great. I recommend it. Oh, I love it.
I love creating community around this experience too, because then people are like, no way, I had a witch trial past life too, right? And then they can sit and kind of bond over that shared experience in the past life.
I think I told you this when we did our session, that I had a recurring dream as a kid that I was a little French girl in probably like the 14th century. And I was kicked out of my home. I don't know why. I had this dream frequently, and I'm almost positive that was a memory.
Yeah.
And I wish I could know more about her. I wonder what was going on, you know? But I remember one of the things I remember about that dream was how viscerally I felt it.
It tends to be very emotional when you have a past life dream or a past life regression experience through a meditation or even spontaneously. Some people are like, I just burst into tears and I saw this face in my mind and I knew it was me, right? So even if you don't believe in past lives, there's an emotion that you feel with it. And I also would love to know more about that little French girl, but like how that little French girl shows up today.
Yeah.
And how you can heal her and nourish her and, you know, help her, because your journey with her is collective, right? Her journey is your journey. And what is she trying to tell you about your past life that you need to know in your life today?
I think I know exactly what it is.
And most people do. Isn't that amazing that you just got it?
Yeah. Like,
and you just knew. That's why these lessons are so important, because it is, it's this insight. It's all this wisdom. If we've grown old and wise many, many, many times, right? How can we use that wise elder inside of us to actually navigate these complicated times today? And at the end of the day, like, you know who you are.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. This was really great.
You're the best. Thank you for all of your thoughtful questions and for giving me a chance to really talk about my passion.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining me for this special episode of Strange and Unexplained. Michelle has offered a free guided past life meditation for any stranger who buys her book, Who Do You Think You Are? This is a $15 value. Simply purchase the book wherever you like to buy books and send a copy of the receipt or receipt of the purchase confirmation to Michelle at Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, at michelle-brock.com. That's Michelle at michelle-brock.com. Next time on Strange and Unexplained, just when you thought the world couldn't get any scarier, we're going to learn about tornadoes. This ain't no trip to Oz, stranger. Strange and Unexplained is a production of Three Goose Entertainment with help from Grab Bag Collab, with sound engineering by Jeff Devine. If you have an idea for an episode, head to our website, strangeandunexplainedpod.com, and fill out the contact form. I will write back. For more amazing content, join us at patreon.com/grabbagcollab, where for just $5 a month, you'll get all the Grab Bag exclusive shows. And for $8, you get those plus Amber Hunt's Crimes of the Centuries and Strange and Unexplained early and ad-free.
Grab Bag is an all-female and non-binary-owned profit-share network where our contributors get to keep ownership of their shows. We strive to give a platform to those who might not be able to land themselves on a bigger network. Who knows? Maybe you have a podcast idea you'd like to pitch to Grab Bag. We've got live recordings, watch parties, book clubs, and more. Why, there's so much going on over at Grab Bag, you'll wonder if we missed the memo on how capitalism works. Join me on Instagram at SNUPod, Daisy Egan, and Grab Bag Collab, or head to the Facebook page to join in the conversation. If you like the show, please visit a sponsor with our unique code, give us a quick review and 5 stars, subscribe and download, and tell a friend. Stay strange.